This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, time for the What's Brewing Show.
Hello and welcome to What's Brewing. I'm your host Jake Merrifield, and I'm here to talk about the Bruins' win on the road versus Washington 24-17. Go on the road and get another big road win that keeps them alive for the Pac-12 South, at least on paper. Also, it's the first time the Bruins have won five games under Chip Kelly. Wow, who thought that was how that's going to go? And also, they've won two in a row again, and they have a chance now to win three in a row. And then do something that they've haven't done under Chip Kelly, win four in a row. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is the What's Brewing Show on the What's Brewing Show Network. You listen to the B Team. You listen to West Coast Bias. You can listen to the What's Brewing Symposium. And right now, you're going to listen to a postgame show. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at What's Brewing Show and all the different hosts that we have. You can call the What's Brewing Hotline. I think we have a couple calls tonight already. 805-399-4WBS, second rain of Troy, on your bye week. And yeah, also, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/What's Brewing Show or What's Brewing Show.com. Just $2 a month. You can support the What's Brewing Show into the future, and we thank you for your support. So this game was a fun one to watch at moments, and other times it was kind of brutal. Basically, the middle of it was pretty much unwatchable if you're a Bruin fan. But the Bruins really came out of this game dominating this game on the stat sheet, and it was close. You know, they had to score a go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. They had to get a big interception to save the game. Thank you, Devin Kirkwood. That was outstanding. I still don't know why they spotted the ball on the four, but by the time we got possession, it was definitely in the end zone. That should have been out at the 25 or the 20 or whatever, but I guess reasonable minds can differ. There's a couple wacky calls from the officials in this game. The Washington fans are probably grouse about the quarterback sneak that scored one of the Bruin touchdowns early with DTR, even though he got in. It's, you know, had he stopped before he got in. There were a couple of non-calls on some Washington offensive players that really cost the Bruins big time in some key moments there. And I would like to complain about the penalties that were called against the Bruin defense, but no, pretty much every time they showed a replay, it was like, oh, yeah, that was PI, and oh, yeah, that was a hold, and oh, yeah, that was pretty bad news. But in the end, the Bruins found a way to get it done. They dominated in the running game. They had a weird game from DTR in the pass game, being that he was like super duper efficient, and also he churned a little bit of yardage with his legs as well. They were able to hold Washington through the air to under what their normal stats are. I'll get to that in a moment. They gave up a little bit on the ground to Washington. Washington had a little bit better run game in this game than they had all season, and yet the Bruins are still able to get the stops for the most part, other than a totally horrible drive at the end of the first half and then a drive at the beginning of the third quarter. The Bruins were able to hold off the Washington offense enough in order to get the win. But at moments, it was kind of like, I know a lot of fans were very frustrated with the Arizona game where they're giving up all the yardage. This wasn't quite that bad, but still there were some moments where you're just like scratching your head going, you know, is anybody going to cover anybody ever in this game? But like I said, the Bruins got it done, and we will take the victory.
Go Bruins!
So just to get into a quick recap of the game, it's kind of fun because this game was bookended by some huge key interceptions by the Bruins. On the first drive of the game, Dylan Morris is intercepted by, in large part, due to the pressure that was provided by the UCLA front seven. He gets hit, which causes him to kind of throw up a duck there, and Quentin Lake is there to grab the ball. And the Bruins get the first turnover of the game on the first drive of the game, and you think that they are in business. Unfortunately, they get a false start, which leads to a third and seven that they do not convert, which led to two trends in this game early that were really troublesome for the Bruins. One was some untimely penalties, and the other one was not being able to convert on third downs. If the Bruins were just a little bit better on third down tonight, this could have been a blowout, seriously, but they just could not stay on the field in the key moments. And on the flip side, Washington gets the ball and drives down the field, and they were able to convert their third downs for the most part during this game, and they turn their opening turnover into a field goal at least. So 10 minutes into the game, Washington has a 3-0 lead. Luckily, the Bruins strike back, and they strike back very quickly and score a go-ahead touchdown to pretty much end the first quarter, and that was provided by some big plays. early by DTR completing a pass to Logan Loya, who was in for Kyle Phillips, and then also completing one to Chase Cota that zips him right down the field about 40 yards. And then the drive is finished off by Zach Charbonnet and then a touchdown pass to Cam Brown on a cool trick play where they line up with their swinging gate and then they motion into something that's got Sean Ryan split out wide as a blocker, and then he ends up taking out two dudes on a sweet little bubble screen. Cam Brown takes it into the end zone, and the Bruins have the lead 7-3. That was, you know, they went to that formation a few different times, and it worked on that play spectacularly. That was the best it worked, if I remember right, the whole game. But it was a nice little wrinkle from Kelly. He had a few different wrinkles in this game, and I can't wait to read Chris Osgood's report on Bro. But from what I noticed, number one was that they kept checking how it looked on that swinging gate sort of formation, and then would either motion into it or out of it. And, you know, they got the touchdown and they got a false start off of it on one of the plays. And then the other thing that they were mixing in more than they had in previous weeks was the quick little swing pass, or they would motion out one of the running backs to the out wide and then do a quick little bubble screen to them. And that's one of the reasons why DTR had an atypical game for him pass efficiency wise, where he ended up, what did he end up, like 20 for 26 or something, I want to say. 21 for 26, even better. 183 yards, two TDs. That was in large part due to a lot more passes that were at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. So good on DTR for getting those completed, and for the most part, he did a good job with that. But the Bruins take that 7-3 lead, and they add on to it from there. First, they get lucky with a bad snap by the Washington center. Goes right over the quarterback and the running back's heads, which kills the next Washington drive. The Bruins turn that into a field goal off a nice 51-yard drive, and then they force a three and out from Washington, and then they have another six-play, 56-yard drive. It only took them, you know, 2 minutes on that drive for another nice touchdown. And at that point, the Bruins are rolling. It's 17-3. The time is running out on the second quarter. And that's the one where DTR sneaks in on the 4th-and-1 that was relatively sort of controversial. But, you know, whatever. He got in there. They didn't blow the whistle. So big deal. But that's when the game turned for the Bruins. And to their credit, Washington actually battled back. And I think their fans would have to be happy with that drive. Probably their best drive of the game was one that was some like 8 plays for 70 yards or something. And they drive down the field. Dylan Morris makes a couple of short completions. And then finally they cap it off with a 26-yard touchdown pass. One of the few times they got over the top on the Bruins. But they get the touchdown pass. And that's pretty much the only thing the Bruins really needed to not do, was to let the Washington get back into the game. At that point, it's 17-10. The Bruins were unable to score going into halftime. But even if they hold the Huskies to a field goal there, they go into the locker room at worst 17-6. Husky fans are all down on themselves, and the Huskies are just really kind of discombobulated. But no, they let them get their mojo going into the locker room. The Bruins don't score, come out, and then the first thing that happens for the Bruins is they end up punting on their drive because they have a bad penalty. On 3rd-and-4, they get a false start, and the Bruins have to punt. And then Washington puts together their second best drive of the game, which was a long touchdown drive. On this one, though, they were aided in large part by a holding call that was not called on the Washington offense on a 3rd-and-12 after the Bruins got a nice sack from DeTone Jackson. If you watch the replay, it was every bit as blatant as the one that got called on the Bruins earlier on one of their stretch runs. And it cost the Bruins big time, because right after the very next play, Kamari Pleasant gets his biggest run of the game, 32 yards, all the way down to the UCLA 22. And then he runs another 15 yards down inside the red zone. And from there, Washington punches it in, and now all of a sudden it's a tie game, 17-17. Bruin fans are wondering what the hell happened. I know, sure as hell know I was. And now all of a sudden you're like, are the Bruins going to be able to pull this game out on the road? With a tough Washington crowd? They always have great crowds up there, and the Bruins are facing some adversity. They follow that up with dueling punts by the UCLA and the Washington offense, and then finally, as soon as we get into the fourth quarter, the Bruins turn it around. They score on what would end up being the game-winning touchdown. Early on, it's Kaz Allen, and that's another wrinkle they had in this game, doing a little bit of fly sweep action with Kaz early, and then after that, it wasn't necessarily a fly sweep. It was more of a handoff that he took off tackle, but that was huge. They ended up getting a huge play on the end of that where DTR kept it and went. Great little counteraction of that. And then Charbonnet ran the ball in the middle of the field, and then at the end of it, it was capped off by somebody we hadn't heard from all game. Two huge plays to Greg Dulcich. One was a little shuttle pass, and when it was completed and Dulcich ended up running up the field for, you know, 15, 16 yards, I was like, holy shit, I totally forgot. Dulcich has been playing this whole game. And then right after that, followed off with a great touchdown right over the middle. DTR throws a dime as one of the safeties bails out. The other one can't cover Dulcich as he crosses over the middle of the field. Touchdown. And the Bruins had, like I said, that was a huge drive. 90 freaking yards, almost 6 minutes of play clock. And it turned out that the only play they would need after that was a tremendous interception by Devin Kirkwood. The Huskies got the ball back, drove to midfield, and then Dylan Morris throws it up there. Kirkwood steals the ball from the Washington receiver, rolls into the end zone, and although he gets a bad spot on that play, that ends up being the end of the game because the Bruins are able to kill the final 5 minutes of the game with Zach Charbonnet running big for the Bruins. He got like 20, 30 yards there before DTR delivers the huge dagger on 3rd and 5 with just a couple minutes left. And from there, they get to put on the victory formation and everybody's happy.
I'm happy that UCLA won.
So when you look at this game as a whole, it is a weird one in that the Bruins dominate on the stat sheet for the most part with a couple of key parts where they didn't. But the Bruins come away with 420 total yards, 183 in through the air, 237 on the ground. And once again, they exploited what was one of Washington's biggest deficiencies, and that is their run defense. A lot of teams have ran for a lot of yards on the Huskies this year, and the Bruins were able to cash that in. This was a game where the Bruins, for the most part, this was a Zach Charbonnet game. Britton Brown only had a few carries in this one, 3 for 26, and the long was 22. But other than that, Charbonnet carried the rock, 21 carries, 131 yards, 6.2 per. And DTR chipped in with some huge runs, 12 for 87 for 7.3 per. And he didn't take a bunch of sacks, right? That was huge. The Bruins in the negative department only had negative 9 yards on their three negative team rushes. So that was a big deal. On the other side of that, DTR, like I said, had an uncharacteristic game for him. Very efficient in the pass game, 21 for 26, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and that was big time for the Bruins. The Washington, the key part that they dominated in, number one, they held the ball for quite a bit. They were able to sustain a lot of drives, and that's because they kicked the Bruins' butt on third down. They were 9 for 14 on third down. On the flip side, the Bruin offense was only 3 for 12, and they were like 1 for 8, 1 for 9 through most of the game. We had a couple of key third downs the Bruins converted at the end. The other part that really hurt the Bruins early was the penalties. It seemed like they were getting flagged for on every single drive in the first half. 6 for 60 yards is what it ended up. So they did clean that up later. Not as many flags thrown. Washington only had 3 for 20. So as opposed to the last couple of games for the Bruins, if I remember right, a lot fewer penalty flags thrown by the Pac-12 refs in this game. And for the most part, I think that's a good thing. I know I was complaining about the non-call on the Husky offensive lineman, but for the most part, you know, I thought that the flags the Bruins got on them, they earned. I mean, that was pretty clear. They didn't get hosed on any of those. Those were penalties for sure. And other than that one non-call on the Husky player, I think the referees did actually a pretty decent job in this game. Although Washington fans might disagree on that quarterback sneak that scored DTR that touchdown on that fourth and one from the one.
Go Bruins!
So I was not watching this game completely live. I got home late because I was coaching some softball with my daughters. And so I watched the first half on delay, and then I caught up for the second half, but I still was completely off of Twitter and social media and off the Slack channel because I was trying to watch the Dodger game unimpeded. I didn't want to spoil that. Sad hashtag tears for the Dodgers losing on the walk-off. But, at least that was a bullpen game for them, so I guess we can't feel too bad about that. But Anywho, I did not get to see all the complaining and grousing and the ride on the emotional roller coaster with you Bruin fans while the game was going on because I had everything shut off. But I can imagine there were some tense moments for everybody, just like there were some tense moments for me. I was really into this game, and I was sitting on the couch with the Dodgers and my wife, and I was screaming when some of the bad things were happening and when some of the good things were happening. I was pretty pissed off through parts of the game. But when looking back and continuing with the stat sheet, this is two games in a row now where I don't think Bruin fans have a whole lot to complain about with the defense just by, you know, how the game turned out. And I know that might sound counterintuitive based on the number of times you're watching the screen going, oh my God, how did you let him complete that pass? And oh my gosh, what's going on? And why did they let that touchdown go? But when you look at this game, number one, the Bruins came into this game averaging like 35 points a game, and the offense did not generate that tonight. They only got to 24, and this is a game where the clock was spinning the whole time. I want to say the sports godfather, Jim Bendat, when I did turn on my text messages after the game was over, and he said, you know, he said that the Bruin game started after Ole Miss, Tennessee, and it finished earlier than that game. And that's true because I turned it on and watched the fans at Tennessee on Rocky Top littering the field with debris and hitting Lane Kiffin with a golf ball. So this was a very fast game, and there were only, you know, there was a limited number of drives. And so in that regard, I guess it's excusable that the Bruins only put up 24 points because they didn't have as many bites at the apple as they normally would. But at the same time, they still only generated 24 points. The Bruins only gave up 17. Once again, I think we take that with this defense. You say the Bruins are going to give up 17 points, you would have to say more times than not they're going to win the game, and in this game, they did. How does that line up with what Washington has done so far this year? Well, that is their third lowest point total of the season. 17 points is the lowest point total Washington has put up in the last four games. Only Michigan and that first game against Montana when the Grizz beat them, when they were missing all of their wide receivers, basically, and their entire offense was out, and they only scored seven in that very, very depressing game for Washington fans. But only Michigan held the Huskies to fewer points than the Bruins did tonight. So 17 is a full touchdown below their average point total this season of 24 points per game. So the Bruins defense comes up big in that regard. And once again, it's a very slow-paced game, so you know that's kind of understandable how that worked out. But also, the Washington Huskies came into this game yards per play. They came in averaging 5.39 yards per play. The Bruin defense held them to 4.4 yards per play. The Husky offense came in averaging 7 yards per pass. And that was certainly, you know, that's one of the well-documented weaknesses of this Bruin defense is their pass defense. But the Bruins held them to 6.13 yards per pass. So under Washington's season averages, the Bruin defense held them too. And the only place where Washington seemed to get better in this game was in their rushing offense. They came into this game averaging 3.6 yards per rush, basically, and they ended up getting 4.4 yards per rush in this game. And that was in large part that drive that I documented where Pleasant came out and got like 40 yards on or 50 yards on two plays, basically. But still, yeah, the Huskies ran the ball better in this game. They were able to sustain drives in this game, and that's something that Bruin fans have been very depressed about, the sustained drives. We talked about that with Arizona, but what I would just like to point out is against Arizona, the UCLA defense held Arizona to what it normally does. Against Washington now, they held the Huskies to below what they normally do at home. I want to say this was a homecoming game. I'm not sure about that, but the Huskies were looking to get well in this game off of a bye week. You had to figure they were going to have some sort of, you know, tricks up their sleeve and at least play better, and I think they did. I mean, I think if Husky fans were, you know, are talking about this game afterwards, or if you listen to Dogman Radio after this game, they're going to be talking about like what could have been. The Huskies had their chance to win. The Huskies could have done this, could have done that. They did this right. And but still, the Bruin defense held them to under what they normally would do. And I think that is something that you know, we need to keep in mind. Not a dominant performance by the defense. They had to come up with two big interceptions, but yet they did. You know, and they held the Huskies to under what they normally would do. So just keep that in mind when you are grousing about how this defense is performing this year. I think this is two games in a row where we can say that, you know, they did what they needed to do. And the approach in this game, once again, was trying not to let anything get deep. They did get beat a couple times, especially on that touchdown, that first touchdown that Washington had. But I think they're doing their job. And if they can do this, I believe the Bruin offense is going to be able to generate more points than most of the other teams in the Pac-12 at this point, especially those left on their schedule. And, you know, you got to like the Bruins' chances when they, if they're going to go with this sort of tactic. Speaking of the Bruin offense, once again, this is a game where, you know, they made some clutch plays when they needed to. I thought the biggest problem in this game was the lack of production on third down. They really, you know, stalled some drives out with that, a couple of bad penalties. But at the end of the day, they came into this game averaging 6.21 yards per play, and they were pretty much right on that tonight at 6.3. The pass yards per pass came in at 8.8 for the season, and they were below that at 7 yards per pass. But once again, that's because DTR was throwing a lot more passes to the sideline, some of those shorter plays, and that really turned out to be a good way to attack this Washington defense. If the Bruins were able to convert some more third downs, I think they really would have been able to put up some much bigger numbers on the Huskies. But at the end of the day, they were able to get it done. And the big key fact here was the Bruins dominated where they needed to dominate, and that was on the ground. The Bruins averaged 6.65 yards per rush. That's more than 2 yards, or almost 2 yards more than their season average of 4.83. And the huge performances on the ground, as I mentioned before, Charbonnet, 21 for 131. No TDs, but a 6.2 average. DTR really took advantage of the Huskies in some key moments. 12 for 87 on the ground with one touchdown. That one that he had to crawl underneath the Washington defense, but it ended up standing. And he averaged 7.3 yards per rush. And then Burton Brown broke one huge run for 22 yards, and he didn't get a lot of carries, but that one he made quite an impression. The Bruins got it done on the ground for sure. Also, the Bruin offense did not allow a sack in this game. That was in large part due to DTR's kind of nifty feet, but the Bruin offensive line played well, I think, tonight. The Huskies only had 2 tackles for a loss. And on the flip side, the Bruins ended up with 7 tackles for a loss, which is, you know, much better than they have been doing the last couple of games. So, remember that turnover was caused by the first turnover. The interception was caused by big pressure by the Bruin front seven. They got it done in a number of ways. At the end of the day, this is a 24-17 win on the road in a tough environment. It's tough to win on the road if you're a college football team, and the Bruins should not, Bruin fans should not look at that, take that lightly, right? Who knows how they're going to play at the Rose Bowl next week versus Oregon? God knows under Chip Kelly, they've had some crippling, horrible, defenseless losses at the Rose Bowl. And now they have a top 10 team coming in to face them at the Rose Bowl this week. But look, you can't really complain about any road win in the Pac-12, and I hope you're not going to try to, because the Bruins got it done in Washington tonight, and that was great.
Fight, fight, fight!
So in other news, as far as the Pac-12 goes, the Bruins got what they needed tonight, and that was ASU took its first loss, that spastic ASU team.
The spastic Arizona State team.
And the Utes handled their business. They were down early, but they came back, roaring back, and kind of like the Bruins, they scored a big touchdown late to ice it, ended up winning, I want to say, by 2 touchdowns, but that was a tremendous victory by the Utes.
What is a Ute? Did you say Utes?
So now it's the Utes' turn to be the darlings of the Pac-12, and they are now the only undefeated in conference Pac-12 team and stand above the Pac-12 South. But they're 3-0, and they still got to face the Bruins, even though the Bruins have to go to Utah, which is not ever friendly for the Bruins. But theoretically, at least, the Bruins have a hope to get back into a tie for the Pac-12 South. They have to hope Sparky takes another L. But other than that, the Bruins are in control of their own destiny, sort of, I guess, with 2 super huge, very tough games coming up on the schedule. At home versus the Ducks, and then on the road at Rice-Eccles. Meanwhile, the Ducks took care of business. They beat Cal, sorry, Jamal, and they were happy to see the Bruins win against Washington, because now that gives their game against the Bruins a little more shine. It's theoretically possible that the 5-2 Bruins might end up near the top 25 or even sneak into the top 25 this week. I don't know. I wouldn't hold our breaths. And if I'm a Bruin fan, I probably hope that they don't get into the top 25, because as soon as they get into there, they immediately lose. So I don't know. Let's maybe get to 6-2 before we have those sorts of dreams. But the bottom line is Pac-12 is a freaking mess. First, the Bruins are the belle of the ball with that big win over LSU, and then Oregon takes it with the huge win over Ohio State. Then they get screwed over by the refs and themselves with that loss to Stanford. Arizona State becomes the front runner with the big win over the Bruins, and now they've taken the L to Utah, and now suddenly Utah seems to be the class of the Pac-12, at least for this week. So we will see. I mean, obviously, the Ducks are still the highest-ranked team in the conference. They still carry any shred of hope that the conference has going to the college football playoff. Not that that is really likely at all.
College football playoff.
But it's okay, Ducks. You can continue to hope. And, you know, if you beat the Bruins next week, the Rose Bowl, then yeah, I guess that story continues. But I think for most of us Pac-12 fans, we should just acknowledge that the conference is fun to watch. There's a bunch of teams that aren't super great, but there's some pretty good ones, and they take turns beating up on each other, especially, you know, no year is more like that than 2021, apparently. But we will see how it goes.
I like UCLA to win the game.
All right, so I know that we had at least a little bit of excitement on the Slack channel from you guys, and so I think that a few of you decided to make some phone calls in, so let me check the phone banks and see what we got.
Hey, this is Jack Rosenfeld. I'm just leaving Husky Stadium. We are 5-2, and, you know, as rough this year has looked at times, as rough the team has looked at times, we're 5-2, and, you know, I'm not sure anyone thought we'd be much better than that before the LSU game. So I'm just really happy where we are and looking forward to the rest of the season and to beat the Ducks. Go Bruins.
Ah, yes, Jack. Thank you very much. Jack went to this game, and you know, I told him before the season that we might go to this game, and of course I pulled a Bill and said one thing and did another thing. But no, I hope you had a great time out there, Jack. Love that stadium. As I said on the podcast this week, I went to the 2004 game. Thank you for the correction, Godfather. And that was when Maurice Jones-Drew ran wild on the Huskies. And that was one of my great sports experiences of my life. Of course, Jack, you can listen to him on the Beer on the Run podcast. And he's also the maker of the What's Brewing Show Top 25 poll. So thank you very much for all of your contributions, Jack. You are the man. Who's next?
5-2, one away from being bowl eligible, and we played a really great game tonight. I thought we should have scored more points, but it is what it is. Held them to 267 total yards, which is pretty good. Still think Ezra Earl should be gone. Outside of that, time to bring on Oregon. Hopefully I can go to that game. This is Des from Santa Clarita, and go Bruins.
Yes, Des. Thank you very much for the call. And you're right. The Bruins could have scored some more points. I think they averaged under 3 points per drive in this game, which is not what is going to usually get it done. But still, they managed to pull the key trick of scoring the most points in the game.
So I think it's whatever offense manages to score more points.
And that's the game winner, generally. You're right. So, yeah, the Bruins were able to score. And I would just like to, you know, once again, Des, point out that the Bruin defense, even though it's not pretty all the time or almost never, but they still managed to get the job done in this game and hold Washington to under most of its averages in most of the things that it does. So that was good. I think we got one last call. Let's see who that could be.
So I watched the game tonight, and it was interesting to see. Look, DTR, I back him 100%, but I go on this wild ride with him being the QB. He'll miss a throw, but then he'll get a touchdown to Greg Dulcich. I think what I'm saying is that every time they pan on him and I see him staring, I feel like he's very not secure with himself. He's always critical about himself, and I feel like the Bruins overall can do much better than that, and I think it starts with DTR, and DTR is a good guy. I'm not even ragging on him. he just has to just believe in himself and let that ball loose. Overall, great performance. I think our defense, Quentin Lake back there, was really nice. I think Charbonnet, Britton Brown, I love that 1-2 power punch. Dulcich was in there. I love Kesmer Allen in there. I like those crazy formations that we saw. I think we can do it. And we did. Go Bruins.
Yeah, next time leave your name, but no, that was a great call. And I've said it before, you know, DTR, when he's looking out there, you look in his eyes when he's on TV, and it might just be the way his face has got that real kind of angular face, you know, handsome guy, but just he always looks like, you know, he just kind of looks like he's gripping sometimes. I think I told Bill a couple weeks ago, he looks like he's constipated sometimes. But, I don't know. I mean, when I think about how he's played this year, you know, and everything comes with the baggage of DTR from freshman year and sophomore year, where he's, you know, throwing the ball off his thighs and the crazy weird turnovers. And even this year, he had that wacky, you know, fumble early in the season. It was like, oh my God, it's, you know, this guy's been doing this his whole career. But if you look at how he has played this year, especially in the crunch time, especially in second halves, he has put the Bruins in position to win games. They don't lose the Fresno State game because of DTR. You know, he won the game twice, basically, and unfortunately the defense did not come through. I think the only game in which he really, you know, was noticeably not clutch was just on the one damn play where he read the wrong way on that quarterback, on that keeper that he did against ASU, doesn't get into the end zone, and that really changes the complexion of that game in the second half, and that's the reason that they get shut out. And so I agree with everything you're saying, caller. Once again, leave your name next time. But I agree with everything you're saying in that when it's not going right for him, it's like you look at him on TV and it does not get to inspire his confidence. But I would say, just look at some of the results that he's had this year, and the Bruins have not taken these two L's because of DTR. I don't think. I really don't think you can make a strong case for that. And I think if you look at you know, kind of what his body of work is this year, it really is. You know, it's. I think he's the best option for them this year, and I'm enjoying watching him do it. But completely understand how reasonable minds can differ on that. But you know, you said it yourself, you know, you're rooting for the dude, and so am I. All right, but thanks for all the calls. That's awesome to get a few calls coming into a post game. And you can join the fun, 805-399-4WBS, Sucker Rain and Troy. Call, you know, right after the game. Call before the show on Tuesday and let us know what you think. And we appreciate all of your contributions.
I was actively rooting for UCLA today, and it makes me feel dirty.
Okay, so before we end the show, I want to throw out some ballers. I've been doing this the last few shows, and it's fun for me to give some of the Bruins that came up big some props during this game. So let's find out who we think the UCLA ballers were in this game.
He's just a baller, man.
Number one, I don't think we can get away from, Zach Charbonnet. 21-131, no TDs, but just a huge game, and he was the tip of the spear for the Bruin running attack.
Baller, man.
Once again, we just talked about it back and forth, but DTR, 183 through the air, two TDs, 87 on the ground, another TD rushing, another game where DTR has three touchdowns total. Sorry, dude, but...
He's just a baller, man.
I'm not going to apologize for DTR, right? Kaz Allen came in spots, and he didn't have any real breakaway plays, but he was a huge part of the game plan, and the misdirection that happened on, you know, going away from him on that final DTR run or one of those DTR scrambles. Kaz, you know, you didn't get your big splash play today, but you're still a baller.
He's just a baller, man.
Greg Dulcich, we didn't even know you showed up for the game until the last two plays, but you're a baller too.
He's just a baller, man.
The Bruin offensive line, once again, 237 yards on the ground and no sacks given up. Collectively, boys, you're ballers. And I also loved Sean Ryan, that sweet double block you made on the first touchdown. You guys are all ballers.
He's just a baller, man.
On defense, I think number one, Quentin Lake early and then Devin Kirkwood with the game-saving interception. You guys are ballers.
He's just a baller, man.
And we also got sacks out of... Jordan Jenmark-Heath and also DeTony Jackson. You guys are ballers as well.
He's just a baller, man.
And I really thought the Bruin front seven played very well, even if they didn't get all the, you know, even you guys that didn't get tackles for a loss. You know, Caleb Johnson, I thought, made some huge plays. So did Martell Irby and also Carl Jones and Q-Knight as well. You know, you guys made enough plays to be ballers too.
He's just a baller, man.
And one thing at the beginning of the broadcast, I didn't get into this. I'm not going to go on too long of a jag of it, but I swear to God, the broadcast crew for this game, Spencer Tillman, not my favorite. And when they came out early and they're talking about how the Bruins are having trouble tackling, I know a lot of times that's stuff that's fed to them by the UCLA staff or talking points or whatever, but tackling, in my opinion, hasn't been the problem with the Bruin defense this year. You know, I don't think I've had any more missed tackles than any other team in the country, really. Obviously, I think we all know the problem has been they haven't been able to cover anybody. It's preventing the other team from catching passes downfield in a variety of circumstances. But bottom line is, the Bruins get it done. They win 24-17 up in Seattle. Very, very happy with that. Bruins are 5-2. And let's just enjoy this for a week before we take on the old Ducks at the Rose Bowl. In case you didn't notice, there is an extra show in the feed tonight. You get double post games on the What's Bruin Show Network feed as
Mike Regalado
takes over for the Bomb Throwing Anarchist.
I'm a Bomb Throwing Anarchist now.
On the Brocast post game, and he posted a show on our feed for that. So you get the Brocast post game with Mike filling in for Woods, and then you get me doing my shtick here. So I hope you enjoy it. That makes it, I think, over what this is going to be about 35, 36 minutes, and you get another 15, 20 out of Mike. So that's just under an hour of Bruin post-game talk for you on the What's Bruin Show Network feed. And make sure you give Mike some positive feedback on the bro boards for that if you are a member. Please do.
Bro.
Because we want to support our brother. So, look, until next time, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Let's hope the Dodgers win tomorrow, even up that series versus the Braves. We will be back on Tuesday with a show of some sort. And until then, call the hotline. Let us know what you think. And go Bruins.
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Dude, bro. We place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.